I see no reason to wait this last 30 seconds.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the October 25th, 2017 meeting of the Lawrence and Douglas County Planning Commission is what we are.
Well, I was in the wrong place there.
You're here. Before we get to our regular agenda, we have a few housekeeping items, beginning with the approval of last month's minutes in your packet. If you had time to review them, if there are any additions or discussion. If none, I would entertain a motion to approve them.
I would motion to approve the minutes.
Moved by Commissioner Willie.
Second.
And seconded by Commissioner Payden. All in favor? 8-0-2 abstentions, I believe. Do we have any committee reports to receive from the last month?
I suppose this would count as a committee report. I attended, and so did Jim Carpenter. The American Planning Association Kansas chapter had their meeting in Salina. I stayed for the both days. We had some good commissioner training time there. I also got a tour of the Kansas Crisis City. It's a first responder training facility out by Salina. But the kind of the best take-home piece I had from the meeting was the keynote speaker, Dr. Cindy Fruin, who is a Kansas City architect and futurist. And she was speaking to people in the planning profession to encourage them to look beyond the 20-year planning period and look at a 100-year planning time frame, with the idea that the 20 years was just kind of an extension of the present and not actually the future. So we actually have some exercises from that are going to incorporate into our planning commissioner training.
We'll have more about the planning commissioner training later. On to our communications. Are there any written communication from the public that are not in our packet? Any communication from staff, commissioners, or other commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, staff has a couple of items to draw to your attention. One is the memorandum on the Santa Fe Depot landmark nomination that we're providing to you as notice. There's no action required by the Planning Commission, but our code requires that we provide you notice that the Historic Resources Commission will be reviewing this Lawrence Register of Historic Places landmark application. My second announcement is just to introduce you to one of our new planning member staff. Luke Mortensen is here tonight to observe this brief commission meeting. He most recently was in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, but is a recent grad of the University of Minnesota. So you may or may not be seeing him more than he likes.
Well, welcome. Let's see. Do we have any written actions of waiver requests or determinations from the city engineer?
No, sir.
Any disclosure of ex parte communications among commissioners, either of these agenda items? Any declarations of abstentions from any agenda items? All right, then let's get on to item number one. Good evening, Sandy.
Good evening, Sandy Day, Planning Office. The item that you have before you for item number one is a final development plan. This project was originally approved under the old code, which requires the final development plan to be approved by this body. We've talked a lot about this property in a couple of applications that we heard earlier this year, including the final development plan for the property immediately to the south. We considered that in July. It was approved. There was also a related minor subdivision that took this property that has three lots and combined it into two. This application is for the development of that north lot, which was alluded to in that previous application. The proposed request is for a single building. It is for Old Chicago. The size of the building is a little over 5,000 square feet. It'll include outside dining and 90 surface parking spaces. This slide shows the approved final development plan that is on the books today that included a building generally in this location, and the proposed request is in a comparable location to this project. The minor subdivision that combined original lots 1 and 2 and then modified some interior easements has been approved, but it has not yet been recorded. The applicant has some work to do with that document to get it recorded. There is also a minor subdivision that was considered and approved recently, and that is exclusively on the Walmart lot. And what that minor subdivision did was include an break in access for West 6th Street that would allow a right-in only access drive. That improvement would be located within the 6th Street right-of-way as well as on the Walmart site. So that is a piece, the amendment to the Walmart site is a piece that does need to be submitted by the applicant. The application for the proposed development does stand on its own without that right-in only driveway. The two buildings combined meet the requirement of the maximum cap that was allowed in that phase two, which included three buildings, which is now just going to be two buildings. This slide shows what that access break would look like. This is a conceptual drawing. This is not an engineered drawing. So there are public improvement plans that will need to be submitted and approved by city staff before that can be constructed. But the intent of the applicant to show this was the vehicular turning movements throughout the parcels that are affected through this. The Old Chicago building has been submitted with building elevations. They have also submitted a building permit, and the proposed building does comply with the city's commercial design guidelines. This is the elevation that faces the public street. The other three elevations face actually interior properties or interior access drives, but it is also compliant. But I want to highlight this particular slide that this provides some pedestrian connection and in human scale back to Wakarusa Drive. Staff's recommendation for the final development plan is for approval. There are really two very minor conditions that are associated with this project. One is that the minor subdivision does in fact need to be recorded before this final development plan can move forward, and the applicant needs to provide a site plan performance agreement, which is a standard document that we see for all development applications, such as site plans, special use permits, and for final development plans. I'm happy to answer any questions. You're here for the other cases. Right. So I think it was the applicant's intent to be here. I'm not sure what happened, but happy to answer any questions.
All right. If we have any, we'll ask you. This is a public hearing item. If there's any member of the public who would like to speak on this item, please come to the podium. Sign in. Have your say. Nope. Okay. Then we'll bring it back to the commission for discussion, questions, or motions. Just motions. Commissioner Sands.
You showed the right-in only access, but you said that was standalone. That's right. Okay, so we're not considering any part of the right-in only for this. I mean, there was a conceptual drawing on there that the applicant said that this is what it could look like.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to clarify.
The actions that have already been approved to date that allow that access to happen was the approval of the minor subdivision with the access break. So at this point, the only thing that really has to happen is the construction of the turn lane and a minor modification to the Walmart phase of that final development plan, and it's really more about adjusting the parking numbers that I think it has maybe about 5 parking spaces that are affected once you get onto that site. So that's why I'm saying it's conceptual. It's not an engineered drawing yet, although the applicant for that commercial building to the south did have to go through a fair amount of work in their traffic study to make sure that they had enough distance to be able to separate that access drive from the intersection.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
For the commissioner, comment or discussion? Commissioner Willie.
Whereas this is not substantially different from what was originally proposed, and it seems a good fit for the area, I would go ahead and make a motion if you're ready for that. I would motion that we approve the final development plan for a 6-walk addition phase 2, Old Chicago, based on the finding of fact presented in the body of the staff report and following to the two conditions that are the prior release of the final development plan for the issuance of the building permit and a signed site plan performance agreement.
We have a motion from Commissioner Willie. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Culver. Further discussion? All those in favor of approval, please raise your hand. Motion carries 10-0. On to item 2.
Item number 2 is an action that the Planning Commission needs to take on the minor subdivision. And in this particular case, minor subdivisions are typically administrative, with the exception of a variance or waiver from certain subdivision design standards. This application includes property that is immediately adjacent to an arterial street. That arterial street is required to have 150 feet of total right-of-way width in the current subdivision regulations. When this area was originally developed, it was developed with 100 feet of right-of-way, and this is a very it's becoming a more common variance that the Planning Commission has been asked to act upon as some of these properties along our developed commercial corridors are redeveloping. Property includes 2 existing platted lots that will be combined into a single lot. And this slide shows really that uniform right-of-way exists, basically the length of the corridor, with the exception of some wider right-of-way around Bluffs Drive further to the west. Staff's recommendation is to support the variance request. It is consistent with the criteria for a variance, and it is also consistent with similar applications that we have considered in similar circumstances.
Thank you, Sandy. Does the applicant care to say anything about the project? Sandy's description?
Mm-hmm. Good evening. My name is Jeff Laubach, SBB Engineering, the civil engineering consultant for Casey's General Store or Casey's Retail mm-hmm. Company. Here, if you have any questions, thanks, Sandy, for the presentation and working with her on this project.
All right. Thank you. This is a public hearing item. If there's any member of the public who would care to speak on this item, please step forward. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the commission for questions, discussions, or motions.
I have a question for staff.
Commissioner Willie.
So the corridor within the neighborhood that we're talking about is already the 100-foot right-of-way. As we move west into newer developments, does it become that 150 standard, or is this
It depends. Where we start to see the much wider right-of-way is much further west, but I would say we see the wider right-of-way closer to the intersections, but the bulk of that arterial street is still at the 100 feet. Mm-hmm. I didn't look all the way out, but... Mm-hmm.
And the city engineer, I assume, is comfortable with
yes. There is no widening, and whatever work that would have to be done, either for the Casey's project or other public improvements, would be completed within the right-of-way that exists. And that was a specific discussion that we had.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question. So our new right-of-way guidelines generally to provide guidance in new development, greenfield development, And unrelated to this particular application, would adherence to this right-of-way requirement be appropriate in a redeveloped application in 23rd Street corridor? We have a lot of encroachment on the right-of-way in that corridor, and that's been a subject of some discussion among, I know, in the city and among some of the consultants that have looked at that corridor. And we do want people to know that we do have the requirements and that it's necessary to get a variance to to adhere to even an existing 100. What would we expect in a 23rd Street corridor redevelopment?
The city has the 23rd Street corridor plan, and that plan does not envision a boulevard treatment, which is really where that 150 foot would be taken up, and that is, and I'm referring to the study that deals with the portion from Iowa Street over to, I think it's Noria Road, and so it breaks up 23rd Street into very specific segments of that. I don't think there are any plans that would contemplate adding the boulevard treatment. The bigger challenge for 23rd Street is that a lot of those lots are very shallow lots, and so that parking or those buildings are what push that encroachment.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Sinclair.
I can understand the fact that approving this variance would be consistent with the corridor. What is the unnecessary hardship, though, to the applicant if the variance were to be denied?
This would probably be the only property that would have to dedicate that additional right-of-way. The expectation that other properties are going to redevelop in a manner that they couldn't otherwise comply, I don't think the boundaries or the depth of the commercial areas are changing in this corridor. So I'm not sure that it's fair to the applicant to have to make that dedication.
I might also state that the reason we have the wider right-of-way for new development is there's a lot of competition for space with utilities, street trees, multimodal elements. These areas that you're seeing with variances coming forward are places that are already kind of tight and existing, and they're not going to move utilities out of the way. They already exist, so there's no need necessarily to get it in an ad hoc fashion. But with as new areas come on board, we've got space needs to maintain new safety measures, for example, that utility companies have, or new utilities altogether, like fiber is now another thing we have to put into the right-of-way. And the lighting and the street trees and everything competes for space in a right-of-way. So we're trying to be very just sort of conscientious about what our existing corridors are doing. In fact, on 23rd Street, it may be even more inconsistent about what the right-of-way does. More often than not, we're vacating right-of-way to allow development to come up and match the existing condition to provide, to give a little more of that property back to the private development. Helps put a little more property on the tax rolls, as well as give more room to do whatever the developer or whatever that business owner needs to do with the property.
Any more questions or discussion? Then I would entertain a motion. Commissioner Sands, thank you.
I'd like to move that we approve the variance requested for the minor subdivision MS-17-00554 to reduce the right-of-way required per section 20-810A5 for the principal arterial street from 150 feet to 100 feet in accordance with the provisions per section 20-813G of the Land Development Code for property located at 1703 and 1711 West 6th Street.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve. Commissioner Sands, we have a second. Commissioner Willie, any further discussion? Then all those in favor of approving the variance request, please raise your hand. Carries 10-0. Thank you. We have one miscellaneous item on our agenda tonight, and it's a good one.
It is a good one, and I would just open it with the fact that it was a joy to work with the chair and vice chair on putting together this year's retreat agenda, and it should be another full day of orientation and discussion with you all. We have really evolved into an agenda day of orientation and training that's really commission-led and very participatory. And it starts with, as you can see from the agenda here, with a social hour or two at Mr. and Mrs. Willie's home. Actually, it's not
Dr. Willie and Mr. Udaly's home.
Thank you very much. And this is, unfortunately, we have to put a lot of information in this agenda because it is a open meeting that is required of the Kansas Open Meeting Act. But we start with that actually before the orientation day. So we hope that you and your guest or spouse can join us, and staff usually attends as well. And then we go into the Friday full day Planning Commissioner Orientation Day. And the only homework that's required of you is to be thinking of some upfront questions that you have for the day. This can be kind of fun to see, and it can be anything. There's no such thing as a dumb question anytime, but especially on this day when we have a real range of sort of seasoned and green commissioners with us on this day. So what we try to do is customize it to the sort of the level of experience we have each year. And so we're going to do some more one-on-one stuff this year, the fact that we have some new commissioners on board. But if you have any questions that you want answered during this orientation, please email them to us. We'll probably send you some prodding emails to get you to think about the questions. And then you can see what our agenda looks like here. One of the highlights is inviting elected officials to the day's lunch, and we plan on having some discussions, you having some discussions with those city and county commissioners that appointed you all. So should be a good day of orientation. Anything to add, Eric or Ken?
I only say that based on conversations with my fellow commissioners who have attended planning conferences elsewhere, is that the training of this commission is something of a reputation that Lawrence has as a place with well-trained commissioners, and I think we are rightfully pretty proud of that.
I do have one update, even for the chair and vice chair, that Randy Larkin can join us that day. We didn't think he would be able to.
All right.
So we are going to...
We were looking for a different day.
Right. You know? So we're going to slow some things down for a half hour and get some legal stuff in. We'll probably throw that in the 10:30 to noon session of, I think we were talking about the nuts and bolts, mm-hmm. Planning 101. Interestingly, in fact, the legal discussion is one of the more engaged ones from the Planning Commissioner standpoint, I find, each time, because you really want to know how much you're on the hook for some of this stuff. So especially the attorneys in the room want to quiz Mr. Larkin on that. So it becomes a fun hour for us. So.
All right. Thank you. Any other business from the commissioners or staff? Then with that, we are adjourned.
We didn't make the record.
We're not here to make records.